And now,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the first pick, the San Antonio Spurs select
Rich Eisen.
I don't think enough time is being spent on who's coaching Victor Wembanyama.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Greg Popovich at age 74. Does this extend his career as long as he wants?
Earlier on the show, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. ESPN MLB insider, Jeff Passan. Coming up, actor Adam Devine. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Can confirm. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. That's our live audience. Unless you're watching on the Roku channel when we're off the air, which we repeat every single day between the off hours. We're on the air between 12 and 3 Eastern every single day. There's our podcast listeners who listen on demand. It's your God-given right to listen whenever you want to. And we're also thrilled to have everybody who's checking us out on YouTube once we're all over. And there's so many different ways. You can't avoid us, is basically what I'm saying here on the Rich Eisen Show. So as soon as this hour's over, we'll re-air throughout the entire weekend and come back at you on Monday. Fun stuff already with Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated on last night's NBA draft. Jeff Passan just joined us from the worldwide leader in sports talking about baseball. But we kick off hour number three with an in-studio guest we have not seen for a few years. We last saw this individual when he was in Kansas City with us for the Big Slick. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop talking about him as if he's not sitting to my right
here.
The Outlaws are going to be available for streaming on Netflix on Friday, July 7th, and season 3 of the hilarious The Righteous Gemstones premiered last weekend. New episodes air Sundays at 10 Eastern on HBO. There's also Max right here on Roku. The great Adam Devine here. Good to
What's
see you,
up?
Sir.
Good
How
to
are
see you?
You,
man? Yeah, good to be back.
How's it going?
Great. Yeah.
Dude, what a cast for the Outlaws. You and the whole.
I know, man.
I mean, Pierce Brosnan. I mean, yeah. Seeing him also, him and Ellen Barkin doing some kick-ass stuff.
I have to
movie.
Quit doing that to myself, like casting the most handsome people opposite me, because it keeps happening.
Yeah,
it's like Zac Efron, Liam Hemsworth.
Yes,
now Pierce, because I do look like a treasure troll next to him. But yeah, the movie is so fun, man. We put it together. The writers brought me this idea, like, at the very end of Workaholics.
Uh-huh.
And so it's been like, what, six or seven years ago now? And
that's how long this has been in the works.
Well, they pitched me the idea, and I'm like, uh-huh, that's a brilliant idea. And I wrote it down in a notebook, and then immediately lost the notebook, forgot all about it, and then like a few years ago found the notebook again, mm-hmm, called the writers up. I was like, have you done anything with this idea? They hadn't. And then we sold it to Netflix and got Sandler's company on board to produce it with me. Yeah.
And a hell of a cast. Lil Rel Howery's going to be in studio next week. So
good.
A couple bites at the Outlaws apple here.
Yeah, please, of man. Course. Keep plugging, baby.
Absolutely. And so Ellen Barkin and Pierce Brosnan play your in-laws.
My future in-laws. I haven't met them. And the quick pitch is, it's the week before my wedding. I haven't met them. They come into town. It's Pierce Brosnan, Ellen Barkin, like the two coolest people ever to be your in-laws. Yes. I'm kind of a dork, typecasting, and I'm like super straight-laced. I work at a bank. They take me out. I go skydiving. I get drunk. I get a tattoo. I go into the bank the next day. I'm talking to Lil Rel Howery, and he's like, man, you look horrible. Like, was it really that bad meeting your in-laws? I'm like, it was that good. They're fantastic. I just need a nice, chill day here at the bank. Click, click. There's a gun to my head. Two people are robbing my bank. They have masks on. They have voice disguising technologies.
Yes.
And then they say something as they leave. That leads me to believe that my in-laws are outlaws.
Ladies and gentlemen, on Netflix, Friday, July 7th. You got a good Pierce Brosnan story? You got one for me on that front? Did you ask him about Bond? Did you do that sort of thing with him?
A little bit. I mean, he's just like this. He's like too cool to like get any like real. He's not giving up any dirt. He's not telling any like real dirty stories or anything. I did go to a, like an art show that he had, which was pretty cool. He does like some really cool art. It was his first big art show. He was kind enough to invite me.
By the way, that is one of the best flexes ever. And I know you're not doing that. I asked.
I didn't buy anything. I can't afford anything that he's selling.
Pierce Brosnan invites me to his art show.
Yeah. And I show up and there's like, I mean, I was like, oh, we obviously run in different circles, because there was like legitimately a man wearing a monocle. They just had a monocle in, as if that's a regular thing. There was like multiple people wearing ascots, wow. Like regular.
So like legit, somebody decides, I'm going to Pierce Brosnan's art show.
And go. It was wild, dude. I was like, oh, right. there's levels to this, and I am way down here. Like, Paul, do you know Paul Mitchell? I don't think that's
like
his name.
Like the hair guy?
The hair guy.
Okay, yeah.
With the ponytail?
Well, I used to know him.
Yeah.
But, was, you know, I mean.
Yeah, no, so, I'm sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. I used to know Paul.
Yeah. He was there. I was like,
hey.
I was like, that we run in different circles. Paul, I'm not throwing an art show, and the Paul Mitchell guy isn't showing up.
By the way, it's how cool is it to go to an art show of a guy who was Thomas Crown? Right? I mean, like, did you think about maybe, like, stealing one, putting it in a little, you know?
Yeah, whenever I go anywhere, I'm thinking about stealing stuff.
By the way, monocle. Yeah. Have you ever, other than playing Monopoly, ever been involved? Or Mr. Peanut. Yeah. Those are the other monocle
people.
Not
a lot of monocle wearers out there, turns out. A little impractical, I would say.
Adam Devine here on The Rich Eisen Show. Again, The Outlaws available for streaming on Netflix on Friday, July 11th. The Righteous Gemstones back in the mix, bro.
Yeah, that's right. We just started back up.
So funny.
Thanks, man.
Oh,
yeah, that's
my
a good one.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. Do you ever read it or get a script and go, how the hell is this going to play out or anything like that? Because it's so whacked out.
I trust Danny and those guys so much. And they do such a good job of, like, where it's like, it absolutely insane. And you're like, this is a lot of male penis in this. Are we going to be able to do this? He always pulls it off. So he's got a good touch.
All right. Do you got a good Danny McBride story for me that you can
share? None that I can tell here.
Seriously,
they told
really?
Me I can't. It's live.
Off, it's off where it's off limits.
Yeah, I would think so.
So he's like that is what you're saying.
He's the best, man. He's like, when we created Workaholics, Andres came over to our house and we were writing stuff, and he gave us the DVD to Foot Fist Way, which was Danny's like first movie that sort of broke him in the business.
Yeah.
And we watched that, and after seeing that, I was like, oh, maybe we will be allowed to make movies, because he's just such like a regular funny, definitely funny guy, but it seemed obtainable, and it is.
The number of times I've employed the GIF on Twitter of him snapping open a lawn chair and just sitting down, that is, I mean, the physical comedy.
Every Friday night, you blast that GIF out.
Snap that thing out. Am I a GIF guy or a GIF guy? I don't know. At any rate,
GIF.
I don't know what it is. Adam Devine here on The Rich Eisen Show. So you are a Clipper fan, if I'm not mistaken. How did you get into the Clippers?
It's a tough go. It's been a tough go for me, man.
That's TJ Jefferson over your right shoulder is another
Clipper Nation. There's the other one. So I found him.
Because you're from Nebraska, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I've been out here. I've been in L.A. for like 20 years now.
But you have your choice when you come out here. You know what I mean?
I did, yeah. But I couldn't afford Laker tickets.
Basically.
And I love Shaq and Kobe. They were the best when I first moved here, but I couldn't afford those tickets. So I would get like the $7 ticket. I'd sit way up in the nosebleeds, and then no one was at those games. So they were like, it doesn't matter. Come on down. And then I'd get to in like the 100 or 200 section. So
who were on those teams? Do you remember who was the stars of those teams when you first started going to Clipper games? Is it Olua Candy still here? I'm trying to figure out 20
it was
years
Elton
ago.
Brand Elton Brand and those, McGetty. Those guys.
McGetty?
Corey McGetty.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All
right. And then once I started to make money and could buy good tickets, that was like the Lob City days. So then I got season tickets. I had them for almost a decade and just gave them up last year.
You gave them up?
Yeah. Well, I was gone. I was working out of town so much.
Right.
And I just couldn't make it to any games. And, it sucks. I really miss it.
Do you ever have a meeting with Ballmer or any conversation with him? Any face-to-face?
Yeah, I was at a bar once, and it was, like, for the NBA awards.
Okay.
And he came up to me, and he was just, like, the coolest. He's like, hey, man. Oh, I see you at the games. What do you think of my trades? Because he had just, like, he'd kind of blown up the team, gotten rid of Blake Griffin. Mm-hmm. And I, like, no, Blake. I really like Blake. And I'm like,
well, we'll have to see about that.
I'm like trying to flex on Ballmer. I'm like, oh, well, we'll see if you know what you're doing or not. And it turns out he kind of did. But But it still hasn't panned out, Ballmer. Get it together, bud.
Get it together.
We need a championship.
Yeah, they're building that new spot.
Yeah, they are.
So, okay. Can they get you back, you think, or what?
Well, I just got to quit. My career needs to take a dip. Yeah. Once my career goes in the toilet, you'll be seeing me at a lot more games, is what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh. There it is. That's Ballmer screaming about his toilets in his new facility. At Adam Devine on Twitter and Instagram right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Celebrity True or False is a game that we play with people like yourself that have been involved in many, many fantastic pieces of pop culture.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. These are stories that we have heard to see if they're true or false. We have some great actual... great production value as well. Hit it.
Oh, my.
Celebrity, true or false?
Beautiful.
You can't handle the truth.
There we go. And it's interesting enough that we have a Jack Nicholson drop like that at the end of that open, Adam, because that's how we start Celebrity, true or false here.
Okay.
True or false, you worked at a grocery store where the film about Schmidt was filmed and got kicked off the set because you could not stop staring at Jack Nicholson.
That is true. Yeah, that's true.
Can you walk me through?
They put me, they were like, they asked for real extras, like people that actually worked at the store, and they kind of knew that I'm a ham and wanted to be an actor. So I was like 16. They said, just act like you're stacking the yogurts in the back. So it's me and I'm stacking the yogurts, but I see where the camera is. So I'm like trying to angle myself out. And then I later learned this is what a first AD does, assistant director. He's like, cut. Hey, if you're in the background and stacking yogurts, I'm the only guy doing this. If you're in the background stacking yogurts, this isn't Jack Nicholson. There's not cameras here. So, you know, don't look this way. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. And then they called action again. And then it's just, I tried to like stand as far away from the shelf as possible. So when Jack comes to like grab the milk, I'd be right there and still like in frame. So I'm stacking in a way no one would stack a shelf, just like full arms extended, just stacking like this. And they're like, cut. Oh, great. Come here. And I was like, they saw how good I was.
This is your moment.
They're
going to
give me a part.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you can stack shelves over here. And I'm like, I have arrived. And then I realize now I'm just working. I'm behind the camera. And they're like, you can stack shelves over here.
So there, somebody came up to you and said, it's called About Schmidt. It's not about Adam.
Yeah, it's not about Adam. Exactly right. Yeah.
Next one up. Okay. True or false, Adam Devine. You actually lived at the house where Workaholics was filmed during the first season with your co-star Blake Anderson.
So this is just called true, isn't it?
This game? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it sounds so outlandish. Yeah. We had to ask.
Yes, like we lived there. We lived there for me, Blake, and Kyle Newacek, who is our director and drug dealer on the show. And we lived in that house for I think like 3 years before getting the show. And then once we got the show, we were convinced like we're gonna get canceled. So we might as well live here for free and let Comedy Central pay our rent.
Yes.
And then when we're canceled, at least we'd save some rent money. And so it was a weird time where like if you didn't have the earliest call time, there's just like a guy running cables through your bedroom at like 5:30 in the morning. And like throwing the sides underneath your door. And it'd be like you in like boxer shorts and a t-shirt, because we were like 25 years old, you know. Yeah. And like getting craft services, just like waiting to shoot. It was kind of the best.
It sounds great.
Yeah,
so you got
awesome
breakfast.
Until like there's a you know, a 6-year-old man just like setting a light up right outside your bedroom window, you know. But and you hear the trucks backing up. Our neighbors hated us there.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we had to, and also we were Comedy Central, so we didn't have like real money to pay them off. So it was just like, hey, come on over. Feel free to grab lunch. Yeah, that was our payoff.
Basic cable money is not going to pay off the neighbors.
Uh-uh.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm assuming then this will be true. Your character's name in Workaholics, Adam DeMamp, inspired by a fake ID your friend once made for you in Photoshop.
Yeah, my buddy, it was like the first generation of Photoshop. And he couldn't figure out how to add new letters. He could only take letters away and move letters around. So my name is Adam Patrick Devine, and he somehow made the name Devin D. Mamp. So we just took that. I was like, I thought DeMamp was a cool last name, and a last name that literally no one has. But so yeah, I was Adam DeMamp on the show. I thought that was kind of fun.
Just because he could only
rearrange. His name was Jason Hillman, and he went by the name Nassaj Ali. It was a white kid named Nassaj. We're gonna get caught. We're gonna get caught.
This is not gonna work.
Yeah, it's not gonna work. It turns out in Omaha, Nebraska, it did. Oh, yeah, they did not care at all.
All right, I got two more for you. All right, Divine Celebrity, true or false?
Please.
True or false? You thought Pitch Perfect was about baseball, so you rubbed yourself with dirt and did warm-up exercises in the parking lot prior to your audition.
I might have made up the rubbing myself with dirt part of that story, but yeah, I definitely thought it was a baseball movie. You know, Pitch Perfect sounds like, and I have the build of a stocky catcher. So they're like, yeah, I'll pop a squat and be in this movie. And I showed up to the audition, not having, not looking at the sides. And I get there and there's all these guys singing. I'm like, that's not going to get you the baseball movie. You know, I'm like, what are you doing, buddy?
So
like,
it really dawned on you in the audition.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the sides, trying to memorize pretty quickly. And I was like, this is not a baseball movie at all. I'm in way over my head. And I go in and I did the audition. It went pretty well. And they're like, what song did you prepare? And I didn't prepare a song because I thought it was a baseball movie. And they're like, well, you have to sing. And just sing whatever song pops into your head just so we know you could sing. And I sang, whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, the evening TV, which is the Full House theme song.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm like, I have no idea how I got the Pitch Perfect where you sing like pop song. I like sing Rihanna, and I sang like a 70-year-old jazz singer in my audition, but I got it.
That's how you got it.
Yeah.
Was Liz Banks in this audition, or was she there? No, not.
No, I think she watched the tape and she was like, "I've got to have him."
That's it.
He's gold.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
My kids have seen those movies 110 billion times.
Yeah.
You must have got a whole total new audience.
And I'm surprised you invited me on the show.
Not
after
at all.
Seeing that.
Not at all. I've seen it many times. You're hilarious in it. You and Rebel Wilson have done a million movies together too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We like working together.
Clearly, right?
Yeah, she's the best.
Last one for you. True or false, you were hired for the role of the Pritchett family Manny on Modern Family, in part because the producers loved that you have a Midwestern way about you. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. They just were like, there's an inherent niceness. I'm like, what'd you say? Say it again. No. There's like, you know, you just seem like a nice guy. And so... That's what they wanted for that role.
Because why? You're going to play off of Ed O'Neill's character, and that would kind of grade.
I don't know why they want. I think they wanted just me to be like kind of a sweetheart, and for Sarah Hyland's character to like kind of fall in love with like straight-laced, nice guy.
Right.
Yeah. So it was very cool. When I first got it, they were fans of Workaholics, so they were like a little worried that I could like. Not be like the maniac that I was on Workaholics, and just be like a nice guy. But they were like, yeah, you know, we want you to have fun and improv. We don't do a lot of improv on the show, but if you could improv a little bit, we would love that. And I'm like, well, this would be great. And day one, I have a scene with Sofia Vergara, and she doesn't improv. She does the lines, you know? And I'm like, went off page a little bit and was improvising, and she just goes, what? And looked over to like Video Village where the producers were, and they come over and they're like, yeah, maybe we're just going to stick to the script from now on. I'll do my best.
I mean, you've worked with some serious comedy legends. I mean, Ed O'Neill there. You have John Goodman, obviously, with Danny McBride, currently in The Righteous Gemstones. You've been in some serious stuff, brother.
I'm going to keep doing it until they figure me out.
Nobody's tapped you on the shoulder
no
yet.
No one said, why are you here?
No.
I feel like I like stole a VIP pass, and I'm like walking around Hollywood going, I belong. And they're going to be like, he stole that from someone.
Brother, you are hanging with people with monocles now.
So yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's not about the ascots.
The ascots and monocles.
So that wasn't Paul Mitchell. That's his business partner, John Paul DeJoria, who's worth $3
billion. There you go.
He seemed like he was worth $3
billion. That was the guy with the monocle?
No, that's the ponytail guy.
Oh, the ponytail guy.
The guy with monocle He's worth so much money you don't even know. He's not on the internet, I'm sure.
He went on to create Amazon, I believe.
Yeah, it's an
odd day for Bezos. Adam Devine, thanks for coming on here, brother.
Thanks a lot. Thanks
Anytime
for having me.
You've got anything you want to come on in here, I'd love to have you. You are most welcome. Watch The Outlaws on Netflix, which is available right here on Roku on Friday, July 7th. And season 3 of The Righteous Gemstones already up and Adam on HBO. Adam Devine, thanks for coming on here, brother.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to show a clip to the Roku audience in a moment, and then what's more likely, our usual Friday staple, 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
An inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and like get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
How many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He was staring at Jack Nicholson.
That is amazing.
Stocking shelves.
Just like doing robot arms on the shelves.
Like, how would you like to stock the shelves? Over here.
Over here.
Oh, yes. I will go over there. Oh, yeah. Where's the camera?
He's thinking, oh, I got a line now. They're going to move
That's
me
right.
up.
I'm getting my SAG card. I'm going to be able to stay.
That's a funny story, man.
That's good.
That's what Celebrity True or False all about right there.
Or Celebrity True, as Adam said.
Well, you know what? A lot of these are true, but then he's like, kind of,
yeah,
I
they
guess.
Have wrinkles.
I don't know.
They have wrinkles.
They've got wrinkles.
Wrinkles.
All right, it's a Friday here on the Rich Eisen Show, which means it's time for What's More Likely. Hit it.
What? What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, here we go. What do you got over there, Chris Brockman? What do you got over there?
What's up, Rich?
Oh, God.
Hey, Chris.
What's up?
It's your birthday tomorrow.
It is that.
Happy early birthday.
Yes, sir.
Quarterback to have a better 2023. Who's more likely?
Aaron Rodgers or?
Jordan Love or any rookie.
Oh,
Jordan Love or any rookie quarterback. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson.
I think that's insulting, that question.
Why? He's a rookie.
I say
Jordan Love is basically a rookie. He's never played before.
I will go Jordan Love. Now, what's your measurement of what's successful?
Not sucking.
Well, isn't that in the eye of the beholder? I mean, like, what are you talking about?
Statistically, we
best
can figure
record?
Out
best
if
record?
You've had a
like,
good
what's the measurement? What's the measurement?
We know if you've had a good season or not. It's obvious.
Well,
I test.
What if, you know, Anthony Richardson is great and the Colts aren't very good and it's not his fault?
Then he'll have a better year than Jordan Love.
I'll take Jordan Love.
Really?
Yes, dude. Yes.
We don't know anything. I mean, I know Romeo Dobbs is like, he can do everything Rodgers can do. He has to say that. But come on.
I'll say it's Jordan Love.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's not. It's everyone else's first rodeo, period, in the NFL. He's been there for a while. And, you know, the Packers have a history of letting guys marinate, and they come out of the box looking pretty damn good. I'll take Jordan Love for sure.
Wow.
The number one most overlooked difference maker, make or break guy in the NFL this year. No one's talking about him as much as they should. What else, Chris? That's my what's more likely.
Wow, you really thought I was going Rodgers too, huh?
I did. Because you said a birthday and you made it about me to start. So, what do you got?
This one's about you.
Okay.
Who's the more likely off-season darling team to reach the divisional round? Jets or Lions?
Jets. Jets.
Okay, Greeny, be real. Jets or Lions?
Hmm. I'll go Lions just to push back from me becoming just in my final day as a 53-year-old cheerleader. My final full day.
Before your
phone. Okay. I believe it was, although I was born at 3:39 in the afternoon. I'll have a nice half day. Half my day as a 53-year-old tomorrow. But the Lions are in an easier division.
And conference.
So I'll take that. I'll take that. But they do both play the Chiefs.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. And I believe the Jets have the Chiefs at home as opposed to Detroit. I'll just take Detroit in that regard, just so I'm not being accused of being a cheerleader. And also saying that they're in an easier path to that basket of the final four of the NFC. I think they are one of the... If they take a look at it, the Jets being the fourth best team in the AFC, there's a lot of teams that could grab that mantle.
Yeah.
In the NFC, what do you got? The Dallas, Philly, 49ers, and you could throw the Lions in that mix.
You throw the Lions
absolutely
in there. You throw Seattle in there.
The Giants.
Giants.
They made the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Vikings. We'll see.
Maybe, yeah.
What else, Chris?
Did you see NFL Films reached out to the Lions again to do hard
knocks? I heard that. And what did they say, pound sign?
No report yet on that. Would you be interested in another Lions?
I don't, of course. I mean, but why wouldn't you compel one of the teams that can be compelled to do it to do it?
They've all publicly said that they are not interested.
Nobody, because everybody thinks it's intrusive, even though the NFL Films crew isn't intrusive. I don't know. The Jets just don't want to have the Rodgers stuff front and center for the whole country to see, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, we're going to see it anyway.
I think they're going to compel the Jets to do it, I would think. Unless the Lions agree to do it one more time. I don't know.
All right, I saw this on Twitter yesterday, so yeah. I'm just going to bring it to you guys. Tight end you like, more likely to have a better fantasy season.
Uh-huh.
George Kittle or Darren Waller?
Oh, I'll take Kittle. I'll take Kittle. I'll take George. Yeah.
Just slight pushback. It is tight end you this week. That's why I bring this up as
I
well.
I understand that.
Little injury history for Kittle. Quarterback uncertainty where it seems like Darren
Waller. No
injury
history for Darren Waller?
No, but I'm saying he's going to go in and be their number one receiving target, I feel like.
I would think so. I understand. But Purdy, how many times did Purdy find that guy?
Well, it seemed like Purdy kind of rejuvenated Kittle a little bit second half of last
year.
That's
why I'll just take George.
Fair.
Thank you. What else?
I'll go with Waller since you asked.
Okay.
TJ, which one do you like?
Why do you say, no, seriously, why do you say that then?
I just, basically what he just said, I think he probably will be the top receiver for the Giants.
Target heavy.
With the Niners, you're going to have Debo. McCaffrey's going to catch a lot of passes.
Ayuk come out.
Is going to catch a lot of passes.
But my pushback on that would be, as much as I think we are trendsetters here and notice things that others do not, that's why RES Consulting exists. But don't you think if we know Waller's their top target, defensive coordinators in the NFL?
I've heard of those guys.
True, but I'm sure everyone who played the Vikings knew that Justin Jefferson was probably going to get the ball, and nobody was able to stop him.
Until the last month.
Well.
What else?
Last football one. Just going straight for it right now. Most likely to unseat the Chiefs in the AFC, Bills or Bengals.
I'm going to go off the board here.
That's not the game.
I'll take the Bengals then.
Thank you.
You know how I feel about Burrow. Let me just tell you something about the Chiefs. Because I saw this, as you know, when I was
locale were you at? Because I have one written
when
down.
I was floating in the Dead Sea.
Eisen's busting Masada.
When I was floating in the Dead Sea, which team is going to knock off the Chiefs or stands in their way of the Chiefs? And my fellow Jet cheerleader said the Jets.
He went off.
I know. Yeah. And I thought to myself, the team that can knock off the Chiefs is the Kansas City Chiefs. It truly, that's it. Injury or turnover problems that come out of nowhere. That's the way I'm looking at it right now. I'm going the reverse of last year, saying I see flaws that I think can be exploited by a team like the Raiders. Oh, my God. But I'll go Cincinnati. I just will, because Burrow is Burrow. And, you know, And the Bills are have not proven to be able to beat the Chiefs in the same way that that Cincinnati has done that. So that's what I'll say. What else you got, Chris?
A couple NBA, music switch.
Music switch.
All right, more likely to be NBA Rookie of the Year if it's not Vic.
Okay.
If it's not Vic. Brandon Miller, Scoot, or The Field?
I'll go The Field just because it's always The Field, right? Isn't it frequently The Field?
Field bet's a good bet. I mean, always a good bet on craps, The Field bet.
But, I mean, it's Vic. How is it not Vic?
I don't know. I mean, weird things happen. Like, Chet Holmgren was kind of a lock, and then he bumps into LeBron in summer, you know, the Drew League, and doesn't play last year. I guess, Chet, is he eligible for Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, he didn't play last year.
Kind of like Blake Griffin didn't play, so yeah. I guess, you know, Chet's in the mix. Chet's in the field.
I'll take The Field, then.
It's real in The Field.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
And then the last one, we love talking about Dame. So more likely, Dame gets traded before free agency. Or is on the Blazers opening night?
Blazers. I'll say he's on the Blazers opening night. That's what I'm going to say.
I agree.
That's what's up. I'm going to say he's going to give this thing a whirl right now, right here, right now. Let's see what you got cooked up. Chauncey and Joe Cronin and Scoot. And, you know, it's not like the cupboard is completely bare.
No, Simons and Nurkic. Yeah, good players.
Right. But I will say he's going to give it a whirl, and if the bet is pooped in October, November, December, well, then January is going to be all about what happens in February. And just like last year, we were at the Super Bowl city, right? And it was all about Durant getting traded to that city.
We're leaving dinner. It was like, right? Oh!
Like, right. So
that was a good dinner, by the way.
I'm assuming the trade deadline will be right in the middle of Super Bowl week again. That's usually the way it works.
So we'll be in Vegas.
That's the way I'll go.
We'll be leaving.
When we come back, let's take good stuff right there. We'll take you to your weekend by just taking a look at what is on the docket this weekend. Also, there is some Buffalo Bills news we have not yet hit. And Joe Cronin, the general manager of the Blazers, let's be fair and balanced here since I keep saying, what is Damian thinking and what is the team going to do with Damian? He gave some insight as to what is happening behind the scenes last night after choosing Scoot Henderson. So we'll play you that soundbite and take you to your weekend here, the final weekend in June 2023, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen Show here on the radio network. Let's take this phone call. Been hanging on. Dane in Seattle, Washington has been hanging on for 2 hours to talk to us. Dane, sorry to keep you on hold for so long.
No worries. It's always a good day when I get to talk to football dad.
So. How are you, boy? How are you?
I am good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, happy early birthday, first of all.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate that.
So I don't know if you take suggestions or requests, but I figure I'm here. I'm going to shoot my shot.
Okay.
I would like to suggest a top five juiciest Super Bowls that we might see next year.
No.
No, I don't have a list prepared. For you to do because you're the expert here.
You want me to come up with one off the top of my head?
You will have the weekend to do your homework and do this properly, sir.
This is a request.
Yeah, he said put some thought behind
this.
Dane's
requesting.
So, Dane, you want me to spend part of my weekend working on this?
His birthday weekend.
That's okay. I can do it. It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. Any other Monday you pick. It is your show.
I appreciate it. No. Yeah, this coming Monday is as good as any Monday. My gosh. We're at the depths.
It's a good time to do this.
This is perfect time to do this. This is a perfect time to do this.
Actually, we should all do this.
Top five. No. Dane didn't ask for that. Dane,
that's fair. I was
Dane,
chatting on.
No, that's okay. So, Dane, top five juiciest Super Bowl matchups. That's what you're looking for.
Right. This has nothing to do with the strength of the team's roster or how likely they are.
Okay.
This is purely what teams would generate the best storyline.
Very good. Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
Being a fan of the Jets and in light of the trade that happened this offseason.
Well, we already know what number one on the list is, Dane. It's just a question is what's the other four? So
I would like to make one suggestion, if I might.
Well, I mean, you're on a roll, Dane.
Wait, so Packers-Jets is number one?
Just don't ruin it.
Would anybody be surprised if it wasn't?
Sorry. Got it.
Okay. What do you got?
A rematch between the Broncos and the Seahawks.
I already fell asleep. What?
Leave Dane alone.
Sorry.
It's Russell Wilson.
Oh.
What are you talking about? So, you fell asleep.
So that's the obvious
one. Game was terrible, remember?
Russell Wilson has gone to the dark side.
Okay.
The second layer of that is, you know, the Broncos want revenge after the last time this happened.
Yes, sir.
And then the nice juicy little cherry on top is Pete Carroll versus Sean Payton, because those two, when they get together, have given us some really good games, to include the one that gave us the Beastquake.
Dane, you waited 2 hours to give a suggestion, and it seems like you already got this thing mapped out. Give me three more.
Yeah, keep going.
Then the Jets versus the Seahawks?
All right, now...
No, I got that wrong. Yeah, because the Geno angle.
No, I didn't know that. No, that's all Geno angle. It's also Pete Carroll, but all right. All right, good food for thought. Stay tuned for Monday's show. We're going to do this. Thank you for the idea. There you go. Okay.
If it's Jets Seahawks, does Ikayan and Polly come out and do the coin flip?
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Worth asking.
Yeah, I mean,
coin hit. He's already tossed one, right?
Did the Jets re-sign him just for that game?
You guys,
that's tremendous. Yes.
Hey, there is Bills news. Bills news.
Got a little tingle. What?
General manager Brandon Bean. And head coach Sean McDermott had their contracts extended through the 2027 season. And let me tell you, if Coach McDermott does, in fact, finish out this contract all the way to 2027, he will match the record for longest tenured coach in the history of the franchise set by Marv Levy at 11 seasons.
Whoa. Wait a second. Marv Levy only coached 11 years there?
Yeah. He had a ton of years in Kansas City.
It just seemed like he was there for 25 years.
No, he was there for 11 years. Whoa, 11 seasons.
Okay.
11 full seasons. Yeah. Uh-huh. He would match that. McDermott would match Marv Levy. And, of course, you, Chris, knowing what's in your head, you think Sean McDermott will match Marv Levy in terms of number of rings he brought to the city of Buffalo.
Those are your words?
Those are not my words. Those are your words in your head. Deny them. Deny it. Deny it. Deny it. Deny it. You're the one who's like, oh, this argument between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, they're missing the playoffs. Did that not come out of your mouth this week?
Oh, did it?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
All right. I mean, look, yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay.
But this also shows you they are firm believers in what is in place there and what has been put in place there. And whatever has not brought them to the Super Bowl is definitely worthy of continuing on, because it's going to lead there. And you can't argue that.
No, they're on a great path.
They are.
Great leadership. They've really built this up around. It's just, can they get over the hump?
It's their division to lose this year going in. It is exactly that. And that's not any reverse jinx type fantasy. Oh, my team's blown it this week. You've already won text that somebody
Those
might send
worst.
To another one in the middle
worst.
Of the 1 o'clock Eastern Sunday games.
Those are terrible when people do that.
But that's the truth.
They're the betting favorite. They're high up in Super Bowl odds. Yeah, I mean, they should be.
I'm telling you, man. James Cook coming on this week saying I'm RB1. I dig it.
Yeah.
Also.
Love the moxie.
Brother, Dalton Kincaid is going to be available in many fantasy drafts next month. Deep, deep into your draft. That kid out of Utah is a red zone Rubik's Cube solve. I'm telling you. I'm throwing that out at you. And James Cook, again, might be the guy who gets them, you know, in the end zone from like the, he can hit the home run from maybe 30, 40 yards out or something like that, right?
Gabe Davis needs
but
to step up.
It's, well, if there's anybody that could go to Josh Allen or Ken Dorsey and go, what was that? It would be Gabe Davis for the entirety of the 2022 season. He went from the monster division playoff game with four touchdowns. I
mean, everyone drafted him so early last year in fantasy.
And he scored a touchdown against the Rams in that blowout dub.
Yep.
That made everybody like myself go, Yeah, my preseason pick was spot on.
Like week 4 or 5, he had that, what, 90-yarder or 2-touchdown yes. game. And you're like, okay, here we go. And
he's the one that if there anybody has beef about targets or production. But I'm telling you, that kid Dalton Kincaid. Now then, let's go out the door with, for me, the number one subject of the NBA week. We've been talking about it.
Jim, let me tell you, Jim.
Speaking of Jim Cronin, the general manager of the Portland Trailblazers, he was asked last night, point blank, if he feels now that they went ahead and used the 3rd overall pick on Scoot Henderson of G League fame, has he run the risk of losing Damian Lillard? Here's his answer.
No, I don't. I think Dame badly, badly wants to win. And he's probably being more vocal about that than ever, but I don't look at that as a negative. I look at that as he's passionate about this. It matters deeply to him, and it matters deeply to us. And I think the reason you haven't seen major issues from us, or the reason you still see Dame in our gym every day, or still meeting with Chauncey and I constantly, is because he wants us to work. He's bought in. He wants it to work here. And he's challenging us to get it done, which I think is more than fair, and he's earned that.
Joe Cronin not mincing any words. He's in the gym. He's here. We're talking to him. That is true. If he's thinking I'm out of here, then why is he still there? Wouldn't he freeze him out? If this was going south or sideways, wouldn't he be freezing him out? Yeah?
That makes sense.
Yes, no?
I think so.
Yeah.
But he's also never seemed like that type of guy, which is why he's still in Portland. We've never heard trade demands. We've never heard rumors of Dame's unhappy, Dame's talking to so-and-so.
Which is why, again, I think as we've talked this out all week long, I think we have discussed, I think we've landed on, watch, this weekend it'll be, we'll get a Woj bomb that he's heading to Miami.
Yeah,
but
man,
and then of course, you know, your Sixers are sitting there. What's going on with Harden and what's happening?
Rich.
Okay,
ain't
so but that's why I think we have landed on what I think is going to happen, which is go into the season, see how it works,
give it a shot,
right? Because to win a championship with a new team, it's possible he could just show up in February and add to the mix.
That would be tough, though.
It's always tougher. You want to have the full season of...
Get that chemistry. Right.
Yeah, and the same page conversation you always hear.
If it's February, Portland's at the bottom, and it's like...
Doesn't even have to be the bottom. It could be just or like 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 6th. I don't know.
Are we just going to be waiting for the... LeBron has texted Dame. Chris Haynes tweet.
But LeBron is... So what? Who cares if LeBron's texted him? They still have to. Lakers still have to come correct.
I understand.
In a way that you think Portland, that'll be the last place they want to send him. They want to send him east. And if I'm him, I want to go east. If I'm going anywhere.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
And I heard he likes cheesesteaks. So
Keep saying that, but then you say my team's not going to do anything.
I know. Because
Brooklyn
not.
And Miami are the two teams that we keep hearing about. So.
Brooklyn would be something. I mean
they played well last year.
Or Jacques Vaughn, definitely. He had coach of the year, you know, type material with everything that went down there.
Yeah, he had a lot.
Dude, they lost Kyrie and Durant mid-season after the meeting was supposed to have cleared the air
in the
summer. Well, cleared air. The air just kept stinking and hanging out. You know, moved air, but okay. Fun show. Adam Devine, want to thank him for coming on. And then, of course, Chris Mannix giving his thoughts on the NBA draft and Jeff Passan on all of that stuff. I have no idea what I'm gonna do for my birthday. Don't even ask. I got no idea.
No dinner set up.
Nothing. I got nothing. Susie's taking the kids out to go to camp. Mm. So I'm in full on bachelor mode. It's me and the two dogs.
Love it.
Maybe silence is your.
No, no. You know what I might do is I might invite all my friends to dinner and not have them eat what they want with some sort of silly fantasy draft.
Yeah, you don't understand. You're never gonna get it.
You ordered a T-bone. Here's some salmon.
The hamburger fantasy draft. You haven't done that since you became a dad, right?
It's been a while. Well, yes.
When was the last time you did it?
I think it was 2019. Obviously, the pandemic kind of shut that down a little bit.
Yes, it did. And then we haven't
been able to run it back.
Right. And then becoming a dad and where things happen and like the last thing you're going to do when you do have actual time to go and socialize with others.
No, that would be the first.
Eat what you want.
That would be the first thing I'd want to do.
Is that right?
Because it's not about the food. It's about
the camaraderie.
About camaraderie, you don't understand. Which is why you don't.
Do you like playing dress up, too?
Which is why you don't get invited.
You like going to murder mystery dinners and stuff like that? Where you're not actually eating what you want whenever you want. You're like dressing up.
I don't know what that means.
Wow.
Like medieval times? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, something like that. You
I'd
like
love
that?
To go to medieval times.
Medieval times is fun.
Is it?
Yeah, go for your 50th. Yeah.
I will at some point.
That's what's up.
I was going to wish you a happy birthday. Now I'm not.
Yes, you should. Come on, do it anyway.
Taking shots at me.
Do it anyway.
Maybe tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Rich.
Do it. Thank you. How tough was that?
Not tough at all.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.